Invite your attention to Matthew chapter 9. I pick on Mike. He assigns these Wednesday night topics, and he gives us sermon topics and says, you got 5 minutes. But we're going to shift a little in the month of March, and we're talking about fishing for men. And a few different concepts we'll hit each Wednesday night, and ask me to speak about the idea of fishing for men by praying for laborers. Matthew chapter 9 seems like a natural place to go as you consider the work of Jesus. And let's read together in verse 35 through 38. It says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. As you consider Jesus, you really see his compassion in those verses as he considered both the physical needs of the people that he was caring for as he ministered unto them and those that were sick, but far greater than that as he considered their spiritual lives. Sheep having no shepherd. There was a vacuum here of people wanting to know more, wanting to be led in the ways of truth, and yet they weren't finding it. They certainly weren't finding it, sadly, among the religious leaders of the day. And so here's Jesus looking out under that and understanding this is the condition of the people that are surrounding me. They need a shepherd, not a hireling, not one that's going to speak to them the things that they want to hear, not one that's going to flee when things get difficult, not one who's going to convert them only unto their own thoughts and ideas, but people that will really point them unto God. Try to get through three quick points as I think about what Jesus is doing there. And I see a focus on the lost. Wasn't that Jesus' mission? Luke 19:10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's trying to pass on that same desire to his disciples. What do you see before you? I see a lost and a dying generation. I see a people that need God. And so Jesus was able to see their need. He was able to see the solution. He knew what they needed. They needed to hear the gospel. And he saw their potential. It's where they are. But they can be saved. They can have hope. They can have joy if they would listen. And so there was a focus on the lost. But we also, and especially for tonight's topic, that he saw the necessity of prayer. Pray for the problem that was right there present in front of them. There's a need. Actually, he's going to tell the groundwork's there. But there's a need that surrounds us. You see that especially as you consider John chapter 4 and verse 35. As he's telling them, say not yet that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you that the fields are white already unto harvest. These are a people, especially as you consider the Jews, they know of God, they know of his word, they need to be turned back to him and focused on following him. And so those fields were white already unto harvest. There is a work, and it's a work that's ready. People are hungering, people are thirsting for truth and knowledge. And so pray for that effort. Prayer was important. Kind of a sub-point there. Prayer was important. Jesus did it in his life, time and again. Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, he prayed before his baptism. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, he prayed before one of the most monumentous occasions of his ministry, the selection of the 12 apostles. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28, he prayed at the Mount of Transfiguration. And Luke 22 verse 42, of course we know of his prayer in the garden. About to be arrested, about to be put on trial, about to go through the crucifixion. And he's praying unto God, not my will, but thine be done. Something I thought of this afternoon that I had never given much thought and consideration to. It's interesting that Luke is showing that dependence. Jesus humbling himself, going before God. I need you. I need your help. I need guidance. I need direction. Because Luke is writing to a largely Gentile audience, largely a Greek mindset, and he's writing about the everyman's man. This is the ideal, appealing to their ideal of mind and body. He's strong. He's capable. He's working. He's laboring. He's answering questions. He's sharp. He's the savior of the world. He's the hero. That's who Luke's presenting to us. And that hero humbles himself in prayer unto God. How much more do we also need to be a people of prayer? But he's also reminding us it's a group effort. He didn't just say, I'm going to pray for you, go forth into the world. No, he said, you pray for God to send forth laborers. There is a work, and it's more than just your work. This is a work for all. He saw the scope of what was needed here. Pray for even more laborers. It's going to require as many as possible. Paul recognized we are laborers together with God. I think we're going to talk about that a little more as we go through this month in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. We're laboring together with God. And that humbling thought when you look at Jesus' prayer in John 17, neither do I pray for these alone, not just the disciples, those that will believe on them through His Word. So I pray for the disciples, I pray for those that come after them. That's inclusive of us. And you think Jesus is still praying for those whom we might have an impact on. There was the necessity of prayer. And then finally, there's the need for workers. What's the solution? I see the need. People wandering, they're lost, they're a sheep having no shepherd. You pray for the laborers to go forth into the harvest. But what are they going with? Take the gospel. And so as you consider the Great Commission, there's no question left. Of what are we teaching? What are we preaching? Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. You go into all nations. What are you doing? You're preaching the gospel. You're baptizing them, you're teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Go forth with the word of God. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's what was needed. Fast forward 30 years-ish. And Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. He says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ or who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Well, they're going to seek after fables. They're going to listen to other things. But what do they need, Timothy? The same thing they needed when Jesus ascended from the face of the earth. Take the gospel into all the world. And so pray for those workers that will go forth. Is that not still true for us? Just as much as Jesus looked around in a world about Him and He saw a lost and a dying generation and He said, pray for those laborers to go forth into the world. We have a lost and dying generation around us. And we still need to pray for those doors of opportunity that they'd be open unto us. And when we pray for those doors of opportunity, we need to be ready to use them when they open before us. I'm thankful for the energy that I've seen in the congregation this year and the desire. We want to work and we want to labor. Continue and encourage that, but pray. That's the start. It's fitting that this goes at the first of the month. We need to be praying for those opportunities. We need to be praying that we will build ourselves up to be ready for those opportunities, that we would take advantage of them, and that we would be able to go forth in the world and speak, as Paul says, as I ought to speak, Colossians 4 and verse 4. Let's go forth with the gospel, continuing, knowing that the fields are white unto harvest all around us. Let's pray for those laborers to go forth and recognize what we're doing is praying for me and you and all of those as we here as we work together to take the gospel forth into the world. It was the focus of Jesus and certainly still ought to be our focus today. Where do you find yourself? As we examine ourselves, are we inside that body that's working together, laboring with Christ, or we find ourselves outside of it, yet without hope and yet without strength? Are we those that Jesus had compassion on because they were as sheep having no shepherd? Well, there's hope and life, forgiveness of sin, and truth in Jesus Christ. And if you need help tonight, maybe it's in the study of God's Word to know what is truth. What's right? How can I know it? I'd love the opportunity to sit down and study with you and study God's Word so that you can know those truths and that hope. Perhaps you know what it is you ought to be doing and how you ought to be living, and just need to make that decision to do it. We stand ready to help you in that as well. Maybe there's one ready to be baptized into Christ tonight for the forgiveness of sins, just as they did on the day of Pentecost so many years ago in Acts chapter 2. They entered into that body, sins were washed away, and they went on their way rejoicing. Perhaps it is our efforts have not been what they ought to be. Maybe you want the prayers and support of the congregation to help us grow, but maybe all of us can grow in a little deeper conviction to be a people of prayer, to pray for those opportunities and then go forth and use them as they come to us. That's the great example of Jesus. It's the charge that's set before us tonight. If we could help you with that in any way, let it be known as together we stand and as we sing.